Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Perry Township Board of Supervisors meeting, the regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, July 12, 2022. It's approximately 7:11 p.m. The board met an executive session this evening, meeting at 6:30 p.m., and we discussed legal matters at that time, and we wrapped up shortly before 7, and now we are ready to proceed with the meeting. So the meeting is now called to order. I'd ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly, Supervisors of the
Board. Here.
Supervisor Carrado.
Here.
Supervisor Rosa.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
Five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good. As all members of the board are present, either in person or over the telephone, we will move forward with the meeting. The first item on our agenda is visitor public comment. Before beginning that portion, I'll make the normal housekeeping announcement that although it is posted within the meeting room, I wish to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. During our visitor public comment session, there are two sessions, one now, one at the end of the meeting. We just simply ask that if you would like to come forward and comment into the record, you do so, you come to the podium, you state your first name, last name, address, and then we typically ask people to make their point in 3 minutes or so. If somebody's in the middle of something very important, it was certainly it's the chair's discretion to allow that conversation to go beyond 3 minutes, and we will typically do so. If a speaker has sort of made their point and you're at that 3 minute mark, I'll just sort of gently nudge you and ask you to finish up your point. So, but the floor is open to the public for that purpose. And at this point, I will then ask, is there anyone wishing to come forward? Please do so at this time and come forward to the podium.
Dave Weaver, 214 Java Avenue.
Is that on Dave?
Green means on, I guess.
Okay.
Dave Weaver, 214 Java Avenue. I just wanted to say thanks to everybody at the township that was involved in helping us have Java Blues again this year. The supervisors and the police department for making it pretty easy to schedule the event and do it. Public Works for helping block off the street and everything, and the department was doing their job because they were going to tell my van to be in the park, so they appreciated their presence out there as well. And if you're planning ahead, June 24th next year is the next, hopefully, assuming you all out and have me there. Thanks,
sir.
Thanks,
sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
My name is Anthony Darish. I live at 230 Crescent Drive. A few weeks ago, I was driving my car down West Sabria Avenue, and there was some road construction going on that wasn't labeled. There was no cones or anything. My car actually drove off the street into a 10-by-10 square that was dug out. It smashed into a pipe that was extruding from the street, destroying my transmission, oil pan, and basically the car was totaled. I've been trying to work something out with the building down there. I've been here once or twice, or called numerous offices trying to get something resolved here, and I've been getting absolutely nowhere. I hate to stop a town meeting over something like this, but it appears that everybody I need to talk to is in one room at one time, so I'm here.
Yeah, do we know, did you speak to the Public Works? Bob, are you familiar with this gentleman or the complaint?
Very limited. What I do know, what he said, he did hit something, did damage to his car, came in. I believe Tom handled it. I believe Tom referred him to this department over to the administration department for insurance, and where it went from there, I don't know.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mrs. Sirkot's been in contact with him as well to try to get insurance information so that we can submit that to our carrier for review. At this point, I think she's having trouble connecting with you. I know she said to me she left several messages for you.
I didn't receive any messages. I will call her first thing in the morning, but there is no insurance. I had no insurance that would cover it. My insurance only covered for me hitting other things.
Okay.
That's the issue.
All right.
Well, if this isn't the time for this, I mean, if you could just direct me who to speak to, I can just get off the floor. You guys can get home with this meeting.
Can we just make sure that we have your correct contact information?
Absolutely.
Because if it's Marie is calling and,
right.
And isn't getting the message. Then
I've had phone issues, and for some reason my calls get forwarded to some messaging service that I don't have any access to. So that very well could have happened.
I don't want to give this information over the microphone. Will you write your contact information and number to Mr. Crispin? This way we'll make sure we get that linked up.
All right, thank you very much, sir. Sorry to bother
you. No, that's what we're here for. Again, we have a second public comment session late at the end of the meeting. So,
Aaron Brecker, I'm with RGS. Spoke to Janelle earlier. Janelle's not with the township earlier this week. I just want to confirm that the points street dedication is going to be in the agenda this evening. It's not listed on that sheet.
Should be. Item C.
Yeah, I think it's on the agenda.
Okay, it is. Sorry.
Anybody else? All right. Seeing no one else at this time, we will move on to the next item on our agenda. That's consent calendar. Under the consent calendar, there are three items, A, B, and C. The first item is the adoption of Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for June 28, 2022, the regular meeting. The second item B is the release of the maintenance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for the Milton Hershey School Safety and Security Facility, which is plat 1262. And item C is the approval of accounts payable in the amounts of $1,400,234.24 and payroll in the amount of $344,709. So, as is our custom, we can take all three items under one motion, or we can take each motion individually. I will defer to the members of the board as to their wishes. So, is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to adopt the consent calendar items A, B, and C.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Zamuda to adopt all items under the consent calendar in one motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That takes us to new business. The first item under new business is A, it's the discussion of real estate tax collection services. I'll turn this over to Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As our board is aware, the administration is often tasked with trying to evaluate all of the township services to ensure that we're providing the most cost-effective delivery method for our residents to meet the demands of this community. We had talked previously about tax collection services about 2 years ago during the time period when a lot of other township services were being evaluated. But at that point in time, we felt we weren't ready to issue an RFP to go out, and that would be for the collection of Act 511 taxes. As we worked through that discussion internally with the Derry Township School District, it became clear that collection of real estate taxes and the collection of Act 511 and the streetlight assessment that the township has are two mutually exclusive items but they're related. And they're related in the way that currently they're collected by our Derry Township Tax Association, as you know, is in the center building of this complex. For tonight's purposes, we are looking at and welcoming Dauphin County Treasurer Janice Creason to discuss possibly how Dauphin County's collection services may benefit Derry Township if the Board of Supervisors and our elected tax collector, Luke Violetti, in conjunction with one another, would agree to deputize the county to collect taxes, what that would look like, what that picture might be. Are there cost savings? Are there not cost savings? I think this is a valuable discussion to have. I think the Dauphin County Treasurer can shed some light on the services that the county can provide, what they are already providing to the township. And right now, in our fiscal year 2022 budget, the total assessment, you know, for Derry Township's purposes, you know, we have $165,000 or so allocated to the budget. The school district has an equivalent amount. But to totally operate the association, it's about $395,530 a year. Some of that difference in the cost is made up by fund balance out of the existing budget in the association. What we need to explore tonight is to look at the service. You know, is it a cost-effective way, the way we're managing it today? Would it be more cost-effective if we were to transfer this service to Dauphin County Treasurer's Office? As a board, you might have questions. The school district has representatives here tonight. They may also have questions. But I think what we can hope to gain by tonight's discussion is to have a robust conversation with the county to understand what their services are, how it may change real estate tax collection for Derry Township, because they are already providing this same service to other municipalities throughout Dauphin County. So in addition to collecting all of Dauphin County's taxes, they're collecting the city of Harrisburg, nine other municipalities, and several school districts throughout the county. So they do have the experience. They have the staffing to accommodate this. I don't want to take Janice's thunder, but she can certainly come and explain, you know, her role and her office's role of what they do and the services that they provide. I think just because of the list of that conversation, if the board is so inclined, you know, in 2 weeks' time, I would recommend that if what you hear tonight is something you want to consider further on, there is a potential agreement that could be had between the county, the local tax collector, and Derry Township. We could consider that at your next meeting in 2 weeks. But for tonight's purposes only, we're only focusing on real estate tax collection only. We're not looking at the Act 511 taxes or any of the streetlight assessments. That would be something that would be handled separately by an RFP. That would come up before this board as a separate action. So if you have any questions, if you don't, me, I'd like to introduce Janice Creason and Deputy Vince Pace, you know, from Dauphin County Treasurer's Office, and welcome to Derry Township.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. It's so nice to see you, and thanks for inviting us tonight. A beautiful building. It's the first I've had an opportunity to be in there. Vince Peace is Deputy Treasurer for Dauphin County and does a lot of, well, spearheads the mechanics of collections. So I'll go over just some of the services that we're offering, how our office operates, and I'd really like to hear your questions because I'm sure that you have those. So once I give, you know, a little bit of introduction, and Chris did a great job of doing that as well, you know, feel free to just, you know, hit us with as many questions as you have, and we will do our very best. I've been the Dauphin County Treasurer since 2008, just for a little background. Prior to that, I did own a receivables management firm. So this is, my dad owned a collection agency, still operating, and although he passed at the age of 100, but he asked me a couple weeks before he passed if I had a job in my office for him. So he wanted to work right up until the last minute. So we were in receivables management forever. This is kind of a continuation of it in the treasurer's office of doing things efficiently and accurately for the least amount of overhead, as what we have always attempted to do. I do teach on occasion when it's necessary. The statewide tax certification or qualification program as well. So I'm familiar with the operation of a lot of tax collection offices across the state, how different counties are doing it, tax collectors, how they're operating. The most important thing, and this is what I'd like to lead with, and I think you're all very aware of it, is that the elected tax collector really does drive this process. Lou is the elected tax collector, and all of the liability for tax collection does rest on his shoulders, whether he would like it or not. That does rest solely with him. We as taxing districts, the county, the townships, and the school do carry a bond. Sometimes it's a misnomer that bond protects the tax collector. It does not. The bond collects the taxing districts. If there is a loss through any malfeasance of the tax collector or accidental loss through fire or theft, that bond will make us whole. The tax collector will be held responsible for those funds. I found that out firsthand because in the time that I have been treasurer, unfortunately, we had uncovered not long after I arrived and we started auditing. We did find, and I think Laura Swater is one that's close enough to you. You probably remember it, that there was some misappropriation of funds. So we had to go through the forensic audit and really get firsthand knowledge and education on how that bonding process works. So I am always very mindful of the fact that regardless of what our opinions may be, at the end of the day, we honor the wishes of that elected tax collector because they are personally liable for what is collected. Keeping that in mind, it has worked out very well for the county treasurer's office to assume the responsibilities of tax collector for several districts. I believe they're including the city of Harrisburg, which is just the county tax that we collect. We do collect for 11 taxing districts. One by one, we have inherited those. The first one being Susquehanna Township with about a little larger number of properties than Derry. I think there's probably about 9,500 taxable properties in Susquehanna Township. We've been doing that since 2009. And sometimes we have done it with the name-only tax collector, kind of the capacity that Lou is serving in. And we've also been able to do it under Section 4.4 of the Local Tax Collection Act, which allows the county treasurer to collect the taxes in the absence of an elected tax collector. We weren't able to do that until 2011 when Representative Hickernell partnered with my office and we wrote a small addendum or amendment to the Local Tax Collection Act, allowing county treasurers to do that. So it's worked quite handily in either situation. Some of the pitfalls of local tax collection in Pennsylvania is that the responsibility does rest solely in the hands of the elected tax collector. It is the only elected position, that continues after you pass away. In our capacity as county treasurer and supervisors, commissioners, if something happens to us, our role ends, someone else takes it over. In the case of an elected tax collector, whatever bill is on the street at the time that it's being collected, in that tax year, that remains the responsibility of that tax collector through settlement. Their heirs would be responsible to work together with the surety to appoint another tax collector, whether it be the deputy. Now they're mandated by law to have a deputy. You would hope that that person would be educated and prepared to take over in the case of an untimely passing, not resignation, because that one, that would just end it. The deputy appointment. But you hate to talk about it, but in the case of untimely passing, it's important to remember that it would be the estate that was going to be responsible for collecting those bills through the end of the term. So in many cases, tax collectors who are serving in Dauphin County but do not have the county collecting it have named the county as a deputy in the case of incapacitation. And that kind of, helps with continuity. One thing I was hearing from people who kept saying to me when I got elected, how can you help us get rid of the tax collectors? Well, the legislature has no stomach to do that. That's a broad and sweeping across the state, and we all view it a little bit differently. We attempted to just make it as good as it could possibly be while it was in existence. When they abolish it, if they ever do, which maybe never, that will be a different story. But right now, the best we can do is to make it as efficient and accurate and professional as possible. So the one thing that I was hearing when they were asking me, how can we get rid of them? Well, what's your problem? Well, people were resigning in the middle of their terms. They were getting angry. There was some hostilities. They were passing away. They weren't doing a good job. There was misappropriation. That's not all of them, but there were, those were the cases that stuck out to them as if this is not going well. So we've tried in the best manner to give as many options as possible to prevent those pitfalls. Number one, to educate our current tax collectors to make sure they're serving as well as they can. We have the qualification exam, of course, that helps them to be trained. That's new since 2017. People are becoming more educated in the role. But one of the options that we offered was the collection in our office of the taxes, and that just has become a very routine thing in our office. We're just full service. We're there 5 days a week. We handle not only the collection, but the tax certifications, the inquiries, reporting, whatever the case may be. It just has become pretty much part and parcel of our operation. We were already doing it for the city of Harrisburg. In 2009, we developed software that allows us to collect for county, school, and per capita. We do collect a small amount of per capita in Upper Dauphin School District because the economy of scale being such, it just wasn't worthwhile for them to go out and secure, you know, third-party services for that. So since it was just a small handful, we do handle that. We don't do any of the enforcement. We only do the collection. They're responsible for the enforcement of it or the qualification of, you know, of any exonerations. So that's pretty much where we are right now. From a fee perspective, we have not charged the municipalities for the collection. Number one, the lion's share of the bill is ours. We do recoup. We realize the savings and the fact that we are no longer paying the tax collector to collect the bills. So that has been enough of a savings to offset any added expense. When I started in my office, we had 4 full-time employees in addition to myself. We now have 3 full-time employees and 1 part-timer. So we actually cut our staff back as we automated more fully. So we've been able to do more with less. We have not needed to increase our operating budget in the last 15 years. We're pretty much operating the same way we were. We're using less paper. We're, you know, using more electronics and just finding ways to be more efficient with what we do. We do offer online payments. People can go online and make their real estate tax payments and their per capita payments. If we're collecting those, they can make those online. There is no fee incurred to the county. It didn't require any upgrades to our software. We do that through First National Bank. And also a company called Forte. And that works very seamlessly. It's been great. People are taking advantage of it more and more. The cost is passed on to the user. So there's no expense. We have not paid a penny to set up credit card acceptance or through your e-check or debit card. I think that's, you know, covered tax certs. We do derive some income through the issuing of tax certs. What is a commonly accepted amount of money for a tax cert is $10. Some do as much as, I've seen 50, I think that's egregious. But we have seen $20 or $30 for tax certs. I feel like $10 is appropriate. And so we do derive some revenue through that, which offsets the cost of the collection. So through that, we feel like we are compensated enough. Probably in the last 10 years, we have probably saved the county and the municipality approximately, I was trying to do some figuring the other day, maybe $1.5 million through the elimination of fees for the county and the municipalities. I would say a minimum of that. So it has been fiscally responsible to do that. And it's basically just a service that we offer. We're certainly not here selling our services. We can't respond to an RFP. It's just that we're collecting our bill and we're able to remit to the municipality as part of that. Any questions about that so far?
Janice, real quickly. Right now, does the county actually prepare the bills for Gary Township currently?
We do.
Okay.
All of the municipal bills are prepared for the municipalities by the county. So we print all of the bills. Of course, we're the repository of all assessment data. So we would be the initiator of that. You're already paying a portion of that bill. I think I sent you the invoice the other day to remind you of what portion you're paying. The municipality, the county, and the school are all sharing in the cost of the four-year bond that covers the tax collector. So you already have those static expenses. Those aren't going to go away for any of us.
Just for the board's purposes, that's about $3,600 a year right now, give or take. That includes, you know, prorating the bond over the four-year period, plus half of the postage, half of the printing bill. So that would be our kind of our share of this if the service were to transfer to the county.
And we would do the reminder notice, which you are sharing in the postage of that.
It's about $154, something like that.
You've got, I think you saw a report that I gave you from 2021. Your collections are good. Your folks pay. So that's good. You have a very small outstanding balance by the end of the year. So the cost of reminder notices is minimal. We include the school district data on that bill as well, so that they know where they're at come the end of the year. That is mandated by law that reminder notice go out. So we do that. We provide that service for all of the taxing districts. And in a sense, it has been sort of an audit vehicle for us as well. I guess I could mention auditing, that we are audited. The districts that we collect for are audited by the controller's office and, of course, by the municipalities if they do their own audit. So we have a lot of checks and balances, quite a bit of segregation of duties because we cannot issue checks. We're depositing the money that's coming in. The controller's office is initiating or giving us permission to wire that money. I'll let Vince just give you a little bit, just a brief overview of how the process works from beginning to end as far as remitting the funds. I think he can do that best.
Good evening. So as Janice was, she had mentioned a little bit about, we do take online payments as well. Our counter is open 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We accept currently checks and money orders, and we can take credit cards and debit cards over the counter as well. As far as remitting to the township, we do that on a weekly basis. So every Thursday, whoever the township would designate for this, I would send them the reports for the week, and I would tell you how much money you're going to be getting. When we receive mail, we try to get that those into our tax system within 2 weeks. Obviously, there's some times when it gets a little crazy at the end of our discount period. That might stretch to 3 weeks, but never really past that. So you're still getting paid on a weekly basis, regardless of when we're getting those bills. But send that on Thursday, the report of what you've been getting that week. That ACH or wire directly to your bank account is initiated on Friday, so every Monday you'll be receiving those funds. And that obviously begins right when tax bills go out on February 1st and goes through the end of the year when we receive everything. As far as anything, it doesn't really concern you guys, but school and per capita also go the same way. As Janice mentioned, our staff is 4 full-time, including her, and part-time. We just recently brought on Conowaco Township. We collect only our bill. They don't have any local real estate bills. And then last year it was Dauphin Borough. We still met all of our marks as far as we do it in the office. Just try to see how we're doing every year with all the tax bills. We met all of our marks, even including all those real estate bills, these additional ones. So nothing
nothing's changed. Our process works as far as that goes. I don't know if there's any other questions about how that all works.
So you would be collecting, for purposes of our discussion, I just want to be really clear, the real estate taxes.
Correct.
If you were collecting Derry Township real estate tax, what would that do to your operation? I mean, would you be able to absorb that with your current complement of employees, or would you need to add people?
We discussed that.
Yeah, I think it would be important. So we have some technology that we have not incorporated because we haven't needed to, particularly the importing of the mortgage payments, which really come in mass. So I think that, number one, we would have the incentive to pull the trigger on that, because that would be like one button and all of them are in, where now they're entering them individually. So we're thinking of those things that we could do that we haven't. Sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, it worked fine this year. You know, we're good. We got them all in. Like you said, we're very competitive and looking at that we get the number that we maintain pace with, you know, how quickly we can get payments in. And it can be a turnaround time can be anywhere from 24 hours, you know, to really, you know, high volume times. I think that would be true for any office. You cannot get them all in one day when they're coming in and mastered, particularly during the discount. As it slows down, that becomes a non-issue. You know, we might increase a seasonal position. You know, I think the commissioners have talked about that. Again, expense-wise, that doesn't increase for us. So to add a little bit of manpower on there. But I think that's one thing that we've done well, is that each district we've taken on, you know, I've been doing this all my life. I can pretty much evaluate what the manpower needs to be.
And so if I understood Chris right, Vince and Janice, the township would be paying about $3,500 annually for the county to collect the real estate tax?
The only expense that you would have would be the bond share, which you're already paying, the cost for the bills to go out to be printed, and you'd be sharing proportionally in that along with every other district, and the reminder notices.
And the mailing, postage.
The postage. So that's pretty much all that's been for any municipality. I mean, if you talk to Susquehanna, I'm sure, you know, township managers and supervisors and borough council probably communicate, and that's pretty much been it. From the school district perspective, there is the fee, because we don't have any skin in that game. So that's over and above. We have no way to realize any savings there. So they have the typical per bill fee, they would also share in the cost. Again, they'd be on the notices, so it's minimal for everybody, because we're kind of maximizing that by putting it all on one, you know, reminder notice. And they have the option, if they choose, and most districts have that have worked with us, of having our software in their offices. So they can have the DevNet software available to them. So, and you could as well, but most townships have not opted for that. They don't see the need for it. They get their reports from us. They haven't, it's not the lion's share like it is of the school district, I think, as well, where it's not maybe as critical to see those numbers all the time. The school district seems more interested in that. So we do provide them with the software and what we call thin client, which is, you know, all the peripherals that go with that to operate it. So they can pull their own reports anytime they want to. And we charge $1,200 a year. I think it's $300 a quarter to maintain the software.
Anybody else can ask questions too, but I know in our community, the ability for folks to literally show up at the tax association office and pay their taxes is important. There are people who like that service and appreciate that. How is there any way to address that? Like, would we no longer be able to have people pay in person if we went to the county, we use the county?
Well, That is different in each scenario. I can talk personally about Susquehanna, the transition we made there. They were used to coming into the municipal building and paying. The first year or two, we were in the, I had someone in the municipal building. They had an office dedicated to the tax collector there. So our IT department set up a remote site for us. So we were in there, I think at the beginning, Chris, it was like 3 days a week. I feel like it was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from like 9 to 3. There came a point where I think people felt comfortable enough. I would assume that's what it is, that they saw their payments were being entered in a timely manner. They got their, they could get a receipt simply by calling us on the phone. We can fax, we can email. We have, you know, the resources to get it to them quickly. We stopped seeing that traffic to the point where we cut it back to one morning a week through the discount period up until March 31st. And during the last 2 years, where are we in the pandemic now? Probably our third year, 2021, 22. We have not been out of Susquehanna. The first year and a half, then the building was closed, so we couldn't. And to be honest, we have not gotten a single complaint. No one has had a problem mailing or paying online. Our online option did really has increased significantly. They're taking advantage of that much more. In Millersburg, we started going up 1 day during the end of the discount period. It came to the point where, again, it just dwindled off. People weren't coming. And the same was true for Lower Swatara. We would go one evening, and folks would come and pay, and then we kept cutting the hours back. We'll probably go back to that of offering, you know, some on-site. But I think that's something that, you know, we would have to sit down and talk about what is the appetite for that. Do you start out with that? Certainly we're open to it, and we've done it, but we also know that eventually it almost doesn't become worth it as people become acclimated to, you know, feeling comfortable and working with our office.
And you do also, and you said this, but you do accept online payments as well.
Oh, very much so. Yes.
And then just my last question before I defer to these guys, because they've been very patient, and I don't know if Carter and Abby have questions, but in terms of customer service, I would say that, you know, we generally have very good customer service.
Sure, absolutely.
Tax Association people, which is a credit to them. What can you just describe your experience with customer service at the county? Do you receive lots of calls? Are you comfortable handling calls? Just any kind of background on that would be helpful.
Sure. Yeah, as we said, we're open 8 to 4:30. Our phone line is 9 to 3:30 currently. We receive a pretty high volume of calls, definitely related to real estate taxes are one of our highest. We have some other stuff that we do, dog licensing, we get a lot of those, but both of those, very high volume. We always have someone answering the phone. Very rarely does it ever go to voicemail, and if it does, we are getting back to people the same day, or at the very worst, next morning.
11 o'clock at night.
Or Janice might decide to call them back at 11 o'clock at night, but no, I think it's something that we value very much. Our counter gets pretty busy during tax season. Obviously, more local, Harrisburg, and I'd say Susquehanna are the ones that we see most, obviously. But to echo Janice's point, we very rarely receive any, and it's not necessarily a complaint, they just, someone might ask if we're going to be out somewhere because they might have been used to it in the past. But they have gotten very comfortable with the idea of mailing payments in or going online. But no, customer service for sure is a value that Janice instills in the staff and that we continue.
Guys, gentlemen, do you have any questions?
A lot of my questions were answered in the presentation as it relates to online payment. You don't think Bitcoin is a joke?
Not yet.
No, I'm sure we're going to get the pressure to do that. Yeah, it's going to come.
Thanks for coming, guys. I have a couple of questions and a concern. You mentioned that you guys print the bills and send out the reminders. Are there any other changes that our taxpayers would see that would be evident to them aside from maybe paying the bills online?
I don't think there would be anything else. It pretty much is seamless. In the case of, you know, like Dauphin Borough, the tax collector passed away. we had to pick it up, you know, pretty quickly in that regard. We were right in the middle of tax season. And same had been true in Millersburg when she abruptly left. And it becomes, like, it's easy to pick up where we left off. The information's, you know, already in our system. All the data is there, so it's not difficult. As you have with some changes, you've got to do, change of, you know, get the data uploaded. I'm trying to think of that, you know, we're going through that now with our accounting system. But, everything is pretty seamless. It does, nothing changes for us. All the records are there. You know, we're the repository for the assessment data. So questions that come are just answered routinely, the same as for the other, all the other districts that were.
You mentioned that transition period. If this were to be enacted, the transition period, I assume you guys are pretty open to doing that. That same thing you did with STAR and catch up.
It's a start at the beginning of the tax year with a new bill being on the street.
How long did that, and I missed the timing of that, how long did that go on? I heard March, I heard January, but.
Did you go back to the spring?
Probably I was out there quite a bit because I could work remotely there, so that was easy because you just feel like you're downtown, you can answer the same questions. We have a great setup now because during COVID, one of the things that we were able to incorporate for us, which has been wonderful, well, it's wonderful to me. Some people don't think it's wonderful at all, but our office phones ring on our cell phones now. So. If you decide to, I do. So our email and our office phone is available to us on our cell, and we can call as if we are calling, you know, from our cell phone. So working remotely in that regard, you know, our office pretty much, and we all got laptops, so our offices are really traveling with us 24/7. So that has become, to me, a great benefit. And being able to answer people very promptly and to, just go through that process. So it was easy to be there. I would say the first 3 years we probably were there. Maybe the first 2 years we were there 3 days and we went down to two. Then we shortened the hours from 9 to 3 to 9 to 1. We shortened the hours till 9 to 12. There just wasn't the traffic to justify.
I was
going to
say, how fast did those changes come, I guess, after the first year?
A little quicker than I expected, to be honest, because we go there expecting, we're all geared up, and then we're sort of surprised that we sat there to be here to say we've been there 2 hours and we've only had one person come, particularly after hours, like particularly from 5 to 7. I was under the mistaken belief, it turned out, that there would be a lot of traffic in the hours, and I think perhaps it is that career people that would come after work maybe were more acclimated to mailing or paying online. I can only speculate why we didn't get more traffic. Definitely the senior population felt better coming during the day, but again, that dwindled as time went on.
How did Sertar determine that they want to have that period of transition, or that long length of period of transition?
I determined that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How did you determine? The only way I can think of is, hello, where are my tax people? I got to walk in the office and pay the bill.
I think common sense. In some of the situations, we took over where there had been a problem. Instead of going in a township, their payments weren't being posted for months at a time. There were some real problems out there, so we came on the heels of that. So we had to develop the trust of the constituency. So I think it was really dictated by constituents. I feel like we said they need to see us. They need to know who we are, and so we were there physically. I think once they knew who we were and they saw their payments being posted promptly. They could call us on the phone and get whatever they needed. There was a timely response. I think that's where the confidence came. and we could dial back on the in-person. In Lower Sotera, if you remember, there was a theft of $221,000. That was newsworthy, so people wanted to see who was collecting their money. I don't blame them, so we felt it was important to go out there. So basically, when we did that, we were volunteering. Here's what we think will work best in this transition. Pembroke, when we took over Pembroke, they didn't want it. They said, no, we don't want, they're going to mail it. We don't care. This is, they're going to mail it online. They don't need, you don't go pay your BP&L bill in person anymore. Yeah, just, they're going to get used to mailing it. And they did not want us to offer that. So each one, it was kind of on a case-by-case basis based on what we felt the situation wanted.
So that would it depend on, say, us to ask to do that? Or
I think it would be a cooperative effort between, yes, I think, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. One more quick question, hopefully you can answer. You made a note that our arrears were relatively low in the township. Does the collection will still fall on us? Or
we'll go to tax. I think everything, Derry Township, it would all go to tax money. That's another point of why we would find it advantageous to the county when we talk about the savings that we see and the benefit and why the commissioners would be more than committed to us being here and presenting, you know, on behalf of the county tonight, is that when all of the information, particularly for the school, is in our system throughout the year, it's either paid or it's not paid. There's only two things a bill can be. It's paid or it's unpaid. So at the end of the year, whatever is unpaid is going to go to tax claim. Because all of that data is in our system, IT simply flips a switch, and within an instant, everything that was unpaid becomes in claims, simply recategorized. When the information is not in our system, whatever method or manner the tax claim receives that, there's a manual process of entering that into DevNet or getting that into DevNet. So they very much like the idea that, you know, those tax collectors who are now on DevNet, we make it mandatory that all of our tax collectors are on our DevNet program. We can see them posting the payments in real time. We know what they're doing. And we know who's paid and who is unpaid. And we can monitor that, and we can audit that. So we can flip a switch at the end of the year, and if you're unpaid, the next day you appear in tax claim. There's no delay or lag time.
Thanks very much for answering my questions.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have also a question for Mr. Christman. Can you reiterate the potential savings to the township?
Thank you. To basically call out just the savings associated with real estate tax collection services right now would be a little difficult. The budget's blended, so the total budget for the association at this point for 2022 is $395,530. You know, the Derry Township School District and the township itself contribute equivalent amounts towards that operating budget. Combined, we contribute $312,000 of that $395,000. So, in theory, you know, when you look at this in total, you look at the real estate tax collection piece, you look at the Act 511 piece and the streetlight piece, which we're not considering tonight, but if we were, you know, that would be going out as a separate proposal aside from this. You know, if the metrics were there that would support that kind of move, where if you were moving that service to a third party for the Act 511, you know, in total, the savings would be $395,000. To both organizations, you know, our respective piece of it, to the school district and to us. You know, so to quantify exactly what the real estate tax piece is going to save if we make that move in year one, it's kind of hard to do because the budget's blended. But I can say with, you know, being definitive that if we make a move for the entire collection service, real estate, Act 511, streetlight assessment, you know, that's a $395,000 savings to both the district and the township.
Thank you. One more question.
Sure.
In your opinion, is that a significant cost savings to the township?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at that cost over a 10-year period, you're now $4 million, you know, for tax collection services. I mean, we just heard tonight that, you know, it would cost the township about $3,600 a year for the same service, in essence. So, yeah, I do think that's significant. I think when we look at, when we take the opportunity to look at all of the services that are provided in Gary Township, which we took, as you know, we took a really hard look at during the pandemic, you know, we reduced staffing by 27%. That's significant. That makes significant moves in our budget. What it did do is it helped us save all tax increases. You know, if that's, you know, I'm not saying that that's the only goal here, but it's a major goal. You know, if we can continue to provide good services, keeping our tax rates stable, that's a great benefit to the community. You know, so we take an opportunity to look at where services can be provided by another entity, like Dauphin County. But it, for me personally, I think that makes a lot of sense. But again, that's going to be a board decision.
Thank you.
Chris, may I ask you one question?
Sure.
Out of curiosity, the streetlight assessment, is there a reason why that's not on the real estate tax bill?
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
But I know it's a foot assessment, you know, based, you know, so.
Yeah. The only reason I ask is since Susquehanna Township, they have, actually, they have streetlight one, streetlight two, and streetlight three. They have three different funds, and Lower Sentara, as well as hydrant. So I was just wondering if the township was aware that that assessment could be on the real estate tax bill.
Is it not?
That's what I wasn't sure when they were saying farming it out. Do you think it is?
I don't have it memorized, but I thought it was. But
it really is.
It's on the bill.
It's on the bill.
It's on the bill.
Yeah. Because I was just curious when you were saying the, like, the price for that, but the, I don't think the streetlight would be on the table for that. I think that's part of the real estate tax. I don't want to mistake that, but that was my assumption.
Let me just check. With Natalie and Carter, who are both on the phone, and Natalie and Carter, do either of you have questions for Janice or Vince?
The other board members have actually asked all the questions that I have, and Janice and Vince and Chris gave a great presentation, so my questions have all been answered for me as well.
Thank you, Natalie. Carter?
Same for me. Thank you, everyone, for your attendance and the presentation. Answered a lot of questions. Thank you.
Well, that does it. Thank you very much, obviously. Treasurer Creason, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for providing all this information. Vince, thank you for coming and just being a part of it. Very informative, and we will ask you to come.
Yes. Well, feel free to call us with any questions that we might be able to help you with. We cannot take the place in the storm, so attorney Armstrong.
I do have one question. Who would I contact? Am I going to be dealing with you, or am I going to be dealing with the county solicitor? When and if we start looking at the agreement between?
I would say the best thing would be to deal with myself and Vince.
Okay.
That's always how we've done it before, okay. And then we will bring in the solicitor with any, you know, if we need to have him approve any changes or nomenclature that he would be comfortable with.
Okay, that's fine.
But probably best to run it by us first for the mechanics of it, because we can say, oh, yes, or oh, no.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Thank
one
you.
One other question I just thought of, is there any onboarding fee or anything like that?
Fees?
Yeah, any onboarding that people move over, there's no acquisition fee or anything like that?
No, there's nothing. I think everything that Chris has, we tried to think of everything. I had forgot about the bond, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's a fixed expense. There's no way for any of us to get around that. That's regardless. But no, this is not fee-centric. I think it's important to point that out, that basically, you know, when you think of it in regard to we are collecting our own bill, you're piggybacking onto it. So we're saying, okay, we're going to collect the bill, and then we're going to provide these services to you to make sure you get your funds that are part of that, and that's the component. So no, we're not out looking for a new client in that regard.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're not deriving income from you. Did Natalie have
something? No, I think that was the okay. Looks like a Zoom or Roomba over there. But, thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming to our meeting. It was obviously very informative for all of us, so thank you very much.
Thank you. You're very good students. Very attentive. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, everyone. So we are going to move then to the next item on our agenda, which is the consideration of Resolution 2022-14. This is requesting Commonwealth Financing Authority Multimodal Transportation Fund $901,117 for pedestrian and vehicular safety enhancements to the main western, southern, and eastern entryways to Hershey Village as part of the Downtown Hershey Gateway Improvement Project. Mr. Crystal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, at your June 14th meeting, HRG was authorized to prepare an application to the Commonwealth Financing Authority for multimodal fund grant. As you noted, this is going to be specifically for pedestrian and vehicular safety enhancements to the main western, southern, and eastern entryways to the Hershey Village as part of the Downtown Hershey Gateway Improvements Project. Approval of a local resolution authorizing application is required in the CFA process. The total grant request is for $901,117. Additionally, approval of Resolution 2022-14 would authorize the Township Manager and the Chairman of the Board of Supervisors to serve as signatories for the project moving forward.
Questions for Mr. Crispin? Right, hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, that the Board approves Resolution 2022-14. Requesting the Commonwealth Financing Authority Multimodal Transportation Fund grant of $901,117 for pedestrian vehicular safety enhancements to the main western, southern, and eastern entry to Hershey Village as part of the Downtown Hershey Gateway Improvement Project.
All right, thank you, Mr. Zanuta. Motion made by Mr. Zanuta. Is there a second? I'll go ahead and second it. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is C. It's the adoption of Resolution 2022-13, accepting public improvements, releasing the remaining balance of the performance security and entering the 18-month maintenance and security period for the revised final subdivision land development plan for the Point, Plat 1265. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Plat 1265 was conditionally approved by the Board of Supervisors March 22, 2016, and recorded on August 19, 2016. The plan depicted a subdivision of 23.869 acres of land, previously known as Camp Stoverdale, and the farmhouse tract, with 22 new lots for single-family dwellings and 56 townhome units. The development extended Red Fox Drive to the intersection with Stoverdale Road, which terminates in a new cul-de-sac that serves some of the units. Performance security remains in the balance of $217,246.67. All the required improvements have been completed and confirmed by HRG, and the developer has requested that the township release the remaining balance of the performance security and accept dedication of roadway improvements. We have received a deed of dedication for Red Fox Drive and Stoverdale Road, maintenance security in the amount of $94,292.25, which has been supplied in the form of a bond. Additionally, the developer has provided title insurance in the amount of $30,000, the signed maintenance agreement, and the signed deed of dedication. What this will do financially to the township is it will add approximately 0.33 miles of roads to the township road system for our responsibility to maintain. However, we will also receive liquid fuels funding on that, which in 2022 would have equated to $7,204.64. I'm recommending that the board adopts resolution number 2022-13, accepting public roadway improvements for portions of Red Fox Drive and Stoverdale, and also that they authorize the release of the remaining balance of the performance security of $217,246.67 and provided that the United States Surety Company, bond number 100-104-7705, is provided for the maintenance security, and also that the board executes the maintenance agreement for a term of 18 months for the revised final subdivision and land development plan for the Point Plat 1265. That completes my report. Right.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich on this item?
What I would suggest is I would suggest you take at least two motions. The one motion for the resolution, adopting the resolution, which would, it's an acceptance resolution, accepting dedication of portions of those two, Red Fox Drive and Stonerdale Road. And then your other motion could be releasing the performance security. But the resolution should be in and of itself.
So, Pat, just the question, we can do a resolution to approve the motion, and then a motion to approve the resolution, and then backwards, and then a separate motion dealing solely with the execution of the maintenance agreement for the term of 18 months.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. But I think that would also include the release of the performance security.
That would be part of the maintenance agreement?
It's not necessary. I mean, we could break this up.
And it would be the acceptance of the bond.
I would start, if the board wanted to consider a motion to adopt a resolution under 2022-13, acceptance of deed of dedication for Red Fox Drive and Stonerdale Road, it would be appropriate.
Yeah. So I understand exactly what you're saying. So I'm going to, not that everybody else does that anyway, but I'm going to make a motion that we adopt resolution number 2022-13.
All set.
Which is accepting the public roadway improvements of portions of Red Fox Drive and Stokerdale Road. The motion is seconded by Mr. Zanuda. I don't believe we have any questions on that motion, but are there any? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of adopting a motion to approve the resolution 2022-13, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hearing, are there any opposed? Hearing none, no opposed, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. I'm now going to make a motion that we authorize the release of the remaining balance of performance security in the amount of $217,236.67, provided as United States Surety Company bond number 10010477.05, and then we accept Berkeley Insurance Company bond number 0246187M for $94,292.25 for maintenance security. Is there a second?
I'll second, but are we only doing two motions?
We're doing three. Motion seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. The last motion I'll make is that we execute the maintenance agreement for a term of 18 months for the revised final subdivision and land development plan for the Point, Plat 1265. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you, everyone. The next item is D, is the consideration of increase in the budget for the boiler replacement at the Hershey Public Library. Ms. Kaplan.
Some information. The library currently has two boilers. The newest one was replaced in 2019. The older boiler is not currently operational. And it's been recommended to us by the professionals that replace these that we have two boilers that can alternately cycle on and off to extend the life of both boilers. This also provides backup for the heating system in case one of the boilers does happen to fail. With no heat during the winter, the library would be forced to close until the boilers can be repaired. The budgeted cost that was originally used came from a quote in 2021, and there has been a cost increase since that original quote. The previous boiler was quoted at $53,841. The current price we are being quoted is $69,380. This is $9,380 over the $60,000 approved in this year's budget for the project. I do recommend that the supervisors approve this increase to take care of the project.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Trout. Are there any questions for Alice on this item?
Just a quick one. How old is the boiler that's coming in?
I believe it came with the building.
So 1896.
1997. So it, we got some good use out of it.
Well, that building was built in the early 90s, right? So that would have been, so it's a good 30 years.
1997.
Yeah, 25 years. Yeah. So wish you could have stretched out a little longer there, Allison, but I'll
work at that on this one.
I'll make a motion then.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zanuda to approve the increase in budget in the amount of $9,380 for replacement of the older boiler in the library. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or discussion?
Is that still from a CoStars contract?
Yes.
All right. Then we'll take a vote. All those in favor, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. Thank you. The next item is E. It's the request to conduct the 2022 Ben and Tim Day 5K race on Saturday, August the 27th, 2022, starting at 9 a.m. Chief Warder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The request was received from Al Fricke to hold the 31st annual Ben and Tim Day 5K run on Saturday, August 27th, starting at 9 a.m. The event starts and ends at the Hershey High School. Roadways involved in the race will be Homestead Road, East Caracas, Para Avenue, Meadow Lane, Homestead Lane, and Red Oak Lane. Roadways will be closed during this event for the safety of the participants, and all closure points will be manned. The route this year is the same as in past years and can be easily managed. Residents and others looking to access or meet places within the race route will be allowed to do so when it is safe. Most assigned the posts of this event will be manned by on-duty police and community service officers with assistance from special fire police and emergency school security. However, overtime coverage may be needed. The event organizer talk with him, and he is aware of the township's reimbursement policy and has indicated understanding and acceptance of the policy. As stated, I don't see any major changes with the race itself, and with the assistance of Mount Hershey U.S. Safety and Security, we've been able to man these posts, and the race usually takes about an hour at the most to get all the runners in, so it's a short-lived event.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for the Chief on this issue? If not, we can take a motion.
I make a motion that the request to conduct the 2022 Bennington Dairy 5K race on Saturday, August 27, 2022, starting at 9 a.m. over various township roadways on a route approved by the Dairy Township Police Department is hereby approved.
Thank you. Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes.
Thank you.
The last item under new business is F. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 1108 Middletown Road, S-2022-008. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan was submitted to detail the design of stormwater management facilities for a new dwelling, attached garage, and driveway at 1108 Middletown Road. The applicant and the property owner are Thomas and Jamie Wild. for why. The HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $19,428 is to be provided, which the applicants have done, as well as entering into the township standard agreement to provide financial security for the completion of the system. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the financial cash security in the amount of $19,428 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Thomas and Jamie Wild for the stormwater management plan for 1108 Middletown Road, S-2022-008.
Any questions for Mr. Emmerich? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. That the Board of Supervisors accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $19,428 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security to Thomas and Jamie Wine for the stormwater management plan for 1108 Middletown Road, S-2022-008.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zmuda. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you very much. That will conclude new business. The next item on the agenda is Supervisor Board or Committee Reports. I'll begin with Mr. Zmuda and Mr. Corrado. I'll ask Mrs. Nutt and Mr. Wenkoff if they have any reports, and then I'll conclude. Mr. Zmuda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did not have any meetings or committee report since the last meeting we had. However, I do want to thank the Parks and Rec for having the old stage downtown downtown Chocolate Town Park refurbished and repaired. It's a much nicer venue right now, and it's safer. I don't know if anybody's aware, but previously stones were falling out, kids were climbing on it, and I was just waiting for literally the other shoe to drop. But it's a nice venue right now. The Downtown Hershey Association is going to have their first music on Chocolate on August 8th. I think that's the second Saturday of August. And we'll be using the new stage. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Zmuda. Mr. Corrado.
I also did not have any committee or meeting reports, but no meeting.
Very good. Mrs. Nutt.
No report.
Thank you. And Mr. Wyckoff.
I have no report this evening. Thank you.
And I haven't, since the last meeting, none of the board of committees I sit on have met, so I don't have a report out either. I can see the palpable disappointment in the crowd. The next item is departmental reports. The first one is the police department, Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing for tonight.
Mr. Piccolo, Public Works.
I have nothing to say either, thank you.
I don't think that's a coincidence, the two of you. Ms. Trackman, Library.
Saturday, July 16th at 1 p.m., we're going to be showing Touch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio, thanks to the Friends of the Library. The Friends are also preparing for their book sale that will run from August 5th to August 9th. And July 15th, which is Friday, that's the last day we'll be accepting donations until September 15th. So if you're cleaning out your closets, now's the time.
Good to know. Thank you. Mr. Bonanno, Township Engineer.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Emmerich, Community Development.
Nothing further this evening. Thank you.
Mr. Christman, Township Manager.
Nothing further, but happy to see Bob Piccolo.
All right. Well, that concludes departmental reports. This takes us to the last session for visitor public comments. Anybody wishing to come forward, place a comment in the record. Again, same rules as the first time, but pretty flexible, so please come forward if you wish to speak. Okay, seeing as no one is stepping up to the podium, We will close that visitor public comment session. That takes us to adjournment. So we need a motion. Is there a motion for adjournment?
I will make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zanuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
All ayes. Any opposed? None? All. It is unanimous then. The motion passes unanimously. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.